All right. Hi, everyone. I'll be doing this in English, but if there are any questions near the end, I think I can understand French questions. So I'll be talking about traces of Nabataean orthography and scripts in the early Quranic manuscripts. it's quite clear that the Arabic script as we have it today developed ultimately from the Nabataean script, and we can see really throughout the centuries before Islam that the Nabataean script develops more and more to something that is recognizably Arabic. And, you know, so we have something that is fairly classical Aramaic and turning into something slightly more recognizable as Arabic, still somewhat different until, you know, we arrive in the Islamic period, and even slightly before that, that the script really has taken on its clear Arabic form. And not only does the script somewhat develop over time, there's also somewhat of an orthographic reform. So if you compare how Nabataean spells Arabic words and etc. and these kinds of things, and how Quranic Arabic does it and how later Islamic Arabic does it, there are real differences in how the spelling is done, how the Hamza is treated, how, a whole bunch of things are done. Of course, so there's a clear distinction. So when did that distinction take place? How did that develop? How do these things go about? To what extent can we observe this transition from the pre-Islamic period to the Islamic period? Is this a strong split or not? That's what I was interested in. And I decided, to look at three different topics within this, which I think we can see a certain transition actually taking place, and we can observe it happening. Sometimes even into the Islamic period. And the first one I wanted to look at is the Arameogram bar. As some of you might know, the Aramaic word for son or son of is bar and not bin like we would know it. And in Nabataean Aramaic inscriptions, we see that being used. We have beautiful Arabic names like Taimabdat and Taimo, with bar in between as a son of. And it has a very specific shape. Let me see, how does this go on? Yes, there we go. Right, of this little thing like this and another part like that. BR in a row, nicely connected. We see slightly different forms as well, where we have, once again, a thing and it is more or less a straight line down. Also, once again, Ghanim, nice Arabic name. But these are still, and this is much more transitional script, right? So this script is much more recognizably Arabic-like than the previous one. But but these are all still more or less Aramaic, and it makes sense that they're using the Aramaic words, because, it is Aramaic. But even when we get to like real pre-Islamic Arabic inscriptions, like this one, which is recognizably Ana Sharahil, Bin or Bar, Zalim Banaitu Zal Martul, this is perfectly understandable and reasonable Arabic, but still this word is being used. And it seems reasonable to assume that they weren't actually pronouncing this, but it had taken on a kind of logogram form. So the Aramaic word was simply being used to mean son of, and rather than writing bin or ibn in these kinds of forms. So I wondered, can we see any traces of this? First of all, a beautiful discovery of Beit HaSeibestein, that in the early Islamic papyri of the first century, we find this logogram everywhere. This is clearly not ba plus nun. Nun has a very clear kind of round shape, and this not, right? And this is much closer to kind of the Nabataean shape that we find. And we find this all over the papyri. It's really, really well attested in all kinds of forms. It's hard to not run into. And this is about the whole first century of Islam. They continue to use this Aramaic spelling for son of. It takes on a real shape, like even this thing doesn't quite look like the Ra from the same period, so it really is just a word, a little shape, that is used to write son of. So it's a pure logogram, just a sign. If you find it in the papyri, you would also expect to find it in the inscriptions. And once again, that is very clear. This is a beautiful one because you can really see that the Nun is a very different thing from this thing. So this is 78 Hijri, you have Az-Zayyan, Bar, Abdallah, right? And all of these are very nicely found. And the latest one I was able to find that does it is 121 Hijri, And it really seems to kind of stop after that, or at least that's the latest found one I found so far, and I was surprised how late it was. So, if we can find any inscriptions of the early Islamic period, if we can find papyri of the early Islamic period, we'd of course also expect it to maybe show up in Qurans of the early Islamic period. And that's indeed what we find. So in the Codex Amarensis, very nicely, we see this bar here, and it's a very different shape from the noon that would be used here. Here, once again, we have bar, and there's a little elephant in front, so it's really clear that they were really seeing this bar as standing for bin, but they were writing it differently from bin. So it can either be ibn or just bin. Arab 330G, same thing, very clear, different and distinct shape. Here, it's not that clear because the page is a bit damaged, but fine, and here once again. And also in DAM 0129.1, you see very beautifully and clearly a very distinct shape for this bar. So what we see is really this logogram that was being used before Islam just continued to be used in Islamic periods, at least for some time, and we even find it in the Quranic manuscripts. In the Quranic manuscripts, writing ibn is much more common than this, so these are really just rare manuscripts that do it, but we find them. So maybe we can use this Aramaeogram somewhat as a paleographical tool. In the papyri, it's superseded around 100 Hijri. The inscriptions, 121 is the latest I found so far, and that seems very late. Most of them are more like mid-first century. And the manuscripts that do have this do seem considerably ancient. Could we use the end date that we see in the papyri and inscriptions as a kind of terminus antequem for which when the manuscripts were written? I think that's an interesting thing to explore. That might actually tell us something, and it would actually suggest that these manuscripts might be a bit earlier than we normally have thought. So that's one thing, one of the three topics that I wanted to look at. Another thing is the Hamza spelling. This is a very typical thing. I've worked on this a bunch, and Vernadim has worked on this as well, who showed that really there's a real change between how the Hamza is treated in, say, Arabic words and names in the Nabataean period and pre-Islamic period, and how they're treated in the Islamic periods. So in Nabataean orthography, the aleph, which usually looks like the six, but can take on this more straight shape in later forms, like we see here, the aleph is used for the hamza. So you always write the hamza, even in places where in the Islamic period we would have seeds of the hamza, so to speak. And so a word like hane is not written ha, alif, noon, ya, but it's actually written ha, noon, alif, and some wawation at the end. So really a different kind of spelling. And Dim has argued that this has to do with the loss of the Hamza, at least in the orthographic practice of the Islamic period. But we see it really quite nicely. So Hunay'a, probably, is written with an alif, and Juzay'a, Hani, Wa'il, also, we'd absolutely expect a ya there, but it's using an alif in that place. That is not something we usually see in early Islamic papyri or inscriptions, and we don't usually see this in the Quran either. Besides that, we see that alif is not usually used for writing the long a. So hane does not have an alif here to write a long a, right? It's only using the alif for the hamza. So two of these practices, if we look at Quranic manuscripts, we don't really see these kinds of practices. It's very rare, or rare, it's even basically unknown to see this. But there are some hints at this in the literary sources. So we find that Al-Fara actually points out that especially the Mus'hafs of Ibn Mas'ud would write the Hamza with an alif. Okay, so maybe there is something in the manuscript anyway. And there is. In DAM 29, we actually find this occasionally, not always. Usually we find the normal Islamic spelling. But here we see Nas'aluka really being written Nun, Sin, Alif, Lam, Kaf. Well, this is the regular spelling. Any other manuscript you open up, you'll find this spelling. Same thing, Jitokum, where really an alif is being used in a place where we'd always just expect identical for a ya. So'ah, af'idah, strange spellings, really surprising spellings. And it's all throughout this manuscript. You really find quite a bit of that. And besides just normal, more typical Islamic spellings, so this is really quite striking. To see both being used at the same time, but there's some traces of this in this manuscript. Besides that, we also see that it frequently drops the alif for long a, which is indeed atypical in the Nabataean period, and it's very typical to use, especially in words like al-mal. Any other manuscript, if you take al-mal, it will always be written with an alif. But here in DAM 29, it's written just alif, lam, mim, lam. Strange. Damu, same thing. We see this kind of defective spelling with qala and qalu in early manuscripts, but other words, it's very unusual to see that, to the point that it's basically unheard of. Haqa would always be written with alif. This is what you see the spelling. Any other manuscript I checked had it. But in DAM 29, we have this. And this also seems to be a trace of this practice that, you know, alif was not really used for long I yet, but rather used for hamza only. So DAM 29 is interesting. It has a couple of Nabataeisms, actually. So it uses this bar aramerogram. It frequently uses alif for hamza. It frequently has defective spellings for a, where we really would not expect that. So does this mean that the scribe was actually more used to Nabataean orthography? Is that what's going on? I don't know, but there seems to be something really archaic and strange going on here. Just as a side note, from some of the observations that Gedpurin has made, I get the impression that DAM 25 might be similar. He cites a couple of words that do similar things, but I have not been able to examine these, so I don't know, but that's certainly worth looking into. So there's that. You have the Hamza spelling, you have this bar spelling. These are going on. A last thing is the Nabataean Gimel and Chet, which give rise to the Jim and Ha. These are separate letters in Nabataean, just like in Aramaic. The G and Ha are perfectly distinct. And in the Arabic script, they eventually merge. But just to go through a little bit. So Nabataean, when writing Arabic words, we should say this in Arabic names, there are many script ambiguities, right? The T and the Th are both written with a T, and the Ayn and the Ghayn are both written with Ayn, Ha and the Kha are both written with Ha. And some of the script ambiguities that Arabic has, like the T, the B, the Ya, and the Noon, all being like a single denticle, kind of take place in the development of the Nabataean scripts. And at first are quite distinct, but at some point really develop into something. Same is true for the non-final Kaf and Fa, which kind of merge into a single thing. Finally, they still stay distinct. The Ra and Zai similarly merge. But one development that does not clearly take place is this Ha, which is used for both Ha and Kha, merging with the Jim, which eventually happens in Arabic. But when does that happen? Because we don't really see it in the epigraphic records. So if we look at these pretty typical inscriptions, which are fairly classical Nabataean, I would say, that you have a very distinct shape for the Ha, two different shapes, basically, one a bit more close to what we might know as the Hebrew square script, and one that looks a bit like a tent. Well, this is much more of a lepta-shaped jim, not yet connecting. And as we see slightly more advanced and more transitional Nabataean Arabic inscriptions, we see that they start taking on, continue to have distinct shapes. So we see that the Ha in Yarh has this clear kind of curve to it. Abd al-Masih, not very clear in this picture, but the tracing is therefore supplied. You see it's actually very well down-curved. While the Jim in al-Khazraj just stays pretty straight and nice. Al-Hajj, once again, beautiful straight thing in line with the baseline. And then when we get to these last inscriptions, some of which were published on the Fariq al-Sahra website, we see that the Ha has this very beautiful round shape, well-defined, while the Jim kind of just keeps this straight shape. So there's a real distinction going on between these, and it's hard to find many, many examples of this because, well, you know, the record is spotty, but they seem to be distinct. What about Quranic manuscripts? Well, actually, they're distinct. Depends on manuscripts. There's a couple of manuscripts, so quite a few even. So in Arab 330G, Zawj, Yakhraj, Al-Mawj, Al-Hajj, all have this beautiful straight shape. While Junah, and Nakah, and Al-Alwah, Fath, Al-Masih, all have this beautiful curve to them, right? Really quite distinct. Perfectly kept apart, very nicely there. Codex Amrensis, same thing. Hajj, Makhraj, Kharaja, Nunji, Al-Mawj, Nuh, and Birih, and etc., right? Really distinct letters. They're still separate letters in the hands of these scribes. Are there more? Yeah, there's more. 330F has it as well. I got 330F. very nicely distinct. And this one, Rav 6140b / addendum 1146, has it as well. There's only a couple of these, but they're very clearly distinct and kept apart. And actually, Hansi of the Codex Parisino-Petropolitanus has it as well. Not all hands have it. Some of it only use the straight shape, some only the rounded shape. But in C, they are clearly kept apart. Al-Azwaj, but Farah instead, or Noah, right? And there's some more. Even in Wettstein II, 1913, they're distinct. You can see a later hand has somewhat retouched some of the text, and this later hand was clearly disturbed by this shape, so he added some hooks to these. You can see quite clearly here that the hook was actually added. But of course they stay perfectly distinct from the actual ha, because has this very tight, small loop. So it's pretty clear that, and some of these actually continue to have the nice straight shape. So they're perfectly distinct, and continue to be distinct in this manuscript. Some others, which are not quite as clear. So CVL IS 1615, I've only been able to examine one folio that has been published, and that one folio seems to have the distinction, but you know, with three of them, I will not want to fully commit to there being a distinction. And TIEM SE118, likewise, I mean, it has five attestations, which is slightly better, which perfectly seem to keep distinct, but it'd be very interesting to look at more than one page to make sure whether these things are going on. So, Jim and Ha are just distinct letters in the hands of these scribes. They have not merged. So in final isolated position, the Jim and Ha versus Ha, so Ha, Ha are merged, but were never distinct to begin with, but are distinct from the Jim. And only in final and isolated position. This is typical, and this should ring some bells, because this is what we see with the Fa and the Kaf as well, of course. They merge in medial position, but in final position they stay distinct. Same with, say, the final Ba, the Nun, and the Ya, which in medial position eventually merge, but in final position are distinct. So it's not at all surprising that this kind of distinction would be retained in final position and in medial position would stay different. So really, this is a new letter of the Arabic alphabet, right? And it's there in the pre-Islamic record, and it continues in Islamic records. It retains this pre-Islamic Nabataean contrast. It's just there. What's interesting is it cuts right across different styles. So a couple of the manuscripts we looked at are Hijazi, late Hijazi, Arab 330G style, which I've been calling it, but that's a really ugly name, so maybe we should come up with something better. A1, B1A, B1B. All of these are all clearly early styles, but all of these styles also have forms that don't have this contrast. So they seem to have a kind of chronological development from having this contrast to losing this contrast. What are the implications for the relative datings of these styles? That is something I'm kind of wondering about. If all these styles, which are quite distinct and are usually thought to be at least somewhat apart chronologically, might overlap much more with each other than previously thought, and this might be an indication of that. So, finally, Nabataean matters. The transition from pre-Islamic to Islamic writing was not abrupt. We cannot just see Arabic script and Arabic writing completely in isolation. And if you actually start paying attention to what the pre-Islamic record looks like and compare it to what we see in Quranic manuscripts, what we see in inscriptions, we actually see it's not this complete abrupt development. We actually see something happening. We see a scribal practice just kind of continue, and we should understand it from that background. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.